Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf tzaddik. We left off at the top of the Amud in the middle of a sugya. As you'll recall, back on daf pei tes Amud beis, we started the new Mishnah, the new parak yesterday, that gira nosha is noiheg b'mugdoshim. And the Gemara initially asked, pshita, just because you started off with the behemah chulin, which had a pre-existing isser of gira nosha, and you're makdish it for a karbon, because of that the isser of gira nosha goes away. And the Gemara struggled with this Shaila already yesterday, and the Gemara came up with a number of answers, and we're in the middle of the answer where the Gemara says, it's talking about a situation of Vlodois Kodshim. Vlodois Kodshim means that this, the mommy animal was Mukdish to bring for Mushal for a Karbim Shlomim, and we discover inside the animal that there is a Shlil. Shlil means that there is a Vlad inside the animal. Remember, we had a brief discussion yesterday whether we're talking about Dafka Ben Tisha Chai or even if it was Mes. We don't have to worry about that today. That's going to be a Sugi Mechim tomorrow or on Erev Shabbos in Yetz Hashem. However, what the Gemara did say is that because of the fact that they are both created at the same time, what does that mean, they're both created at the same time? That in the inception of both the Isser Gid Hanoshe, as well as the inception of the Hegdish, of the fact that it's Lod is Kodeshim, both start when the embryo forms inside the fetus, inside the mommy, therefore they're both Bebas Achas. So I have a situation of both the Isser of the Gid Hanoshe and the Isser of the Kodeshim coming together at the same time. That's what the Gemara said initially. Let me more at the very bottom of the Amud said, no, you're mistaken. That the Gid Hanoshe only comes later on. Why? Migmar brings a Rai from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Nozir, the last line of Peites Amud Beis, and Nefel Loi Nikshu Eivara Begidin. The Gidin only comes somewhat later to the fetus. Initially by a human being, Lahavdul Gabi a Behema as well. Yes, you have the fetus starting and growing. However, the Gidin only come in at a later stage. And therefore, top of Tzadik Amud Aleph, Alma Isra Mukdashim Kodim. If that's the case, then the Isra Kodshim happens immediately at the time of the inception inside the Mami, but the Gidin only come later on. So how does the Isra Gid come and is Chal on the pre-exister Isra of the Kodshim? Normally we hold Ein Isra Chal Al Isra. Now, this sin of Ein Isra Chal Isra, like almost everything else, has exceptions to the rule. And one of them, Lemushal, is an Isra Koyl, or an Isra Moisif. Here our Gemara says, it's an Isra Chomor. An Isra Chomor can be Chal on a pre-existing Isra Kal. And Dosok the Gemara, top line, Avagav the Isra Mugdashim Kodim, even though the Isra Kodshim attached to this baby fetus at the very inception inside the mommy's stomach, Asi Isra Gid Chayil Alayu. The Isra Gid is Chal on it. Why? Shekeni Surai Noyig B'mnei Noyach. Because this is an Isra that even predates Matan Torah. It goes all the way back to the B'nei Noyach. On the surface, it sounds like we're talking about that the Isra Gid applies not only to Yidin, but even to Goyim. And that's the expression of B'nei Noyach. However, Tosis says that that is not the case, but rather we're referring to the B'nai Yisrael. Prior to Matan Torah, they had the name, the status of B'nai Noach. Because after all, Yaakov Avinu Yisrael was only born after Noach's time, so to speak. Even though the whole din of Ginanasha only stems from Yaakov Avinu, when he had his fight, his battle with the Tzori Shalesim, which we're going to talk about in much greater detail tomorrow in Yetz Hashem. So the Lashon here, B'nai Noach, is Lav Dafka. If you look at the somewhat long toises here in the middle of the Amid, Kodshim, the Isra Koriz Mi Shamisle, go down about a little bit past halfway down that toises, two-thirds of toises says the Imtoimar, middle of the line. The Imtoimar, Mneva Migoy, the Toisif Isra Gid, Libnei Noyach, the Toisif Namli Isra. Why don't we go and say, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moisif, the Isra Gid for Bnei Noyach, it also applies to Klal Yisrael too. The Tois V'yeshloim Adahod Nesel Bnei Noyach Ayin Adafku Bnei Yaakov. The Koyde Matan Toyre Ikri Bnei Noyach. This is just another way of describing Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah. We're called Bnei Noach, but we don't mean the Goyim. We don't mean Bnei Noach outside of Klal Yisrael. Don't think that this happens to be. And even if you were to say that initially this Isra applied to all 3 billion people in the world, Ale Goyim. Even if it was originally a halacha that applied across the globe to everyone universally, that was prior to Matan Torah. However, any mitzvah that was given to Bnei Noach and was not repeated on Har Sinai, Yisrael Nemra, Veloilim Bnei Noach, and therefore our Tosis is telling the words Bnei Noach that we see in our Gemara is lav dafka. He just means to say that this is an old, old mitzvah that preceded all the other mitzvahs. I'm sorry?
Okay.
Oh, that's the Tosis. Good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, that's why Isser Gid is considered to be a chomor compared to Mugdoshim, because it's an old historic mitzvah even prior to Matan Torah. Okay, so with this we have for Enfit Arkasha. Arkasha was, how does the Isser Gid and the Isser Kodshim work simultaneously? After all, the Mishnah Masechtas Nozir says on the bottom of Peites on the base, it's not the Basachas. So how did it work? Isser Kodshim, you're right, happened at inception of the embryo of this fetus inside. Maskin. That's when it's Kodshim, because it was a Vlad Kodshim. Vlad Kodshim means the mommy was already Kodshim, so it's already in the blood. It became Kodshim as soon as it was inception. Masha Enke, the Isser Gid, only happened later on. When later on? After Nikshru Eivorov begins, sometime in the mommy's stomach, but a week later, a month later, 3 months later, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the Gidin inside the stomach. So how is it then Chal on the Isser Kodshim? Because it's an Isser Chomer that predates Matan Torah. Frank Gimara.
That only applies if the gamble was already hektish at the time that the baby was formed, when it made it and became pregnant. If the baby was formed first and then the owner was makdish it while it was pregnant, then the issue gift came before the hektish.
What you're saying is correct. Let's assume for our purposes that the Gimara is talking only in a tzir when he was makdish it first and then the animal became uberis subsequently. Then your question would fall away. So getting back to Agmar, man shamas lehi svara, who's the one that holds of this svara of the Isser Noyig b'mnei yonayach? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that. What does that mean that Rabbi Yehuda? Doesn't everybody agree? It says in Sefer Bereishis that Yaakov Avinu went and had a fight with the Yisrael Shel Esav. Al kein lo yoichu b'nei Yisrael eskir anoshe ad ayoyim hazeh. So there's a machloikis that we're going to have later on in a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amid Beis between the Tanakama and between Rabbi Yehuda. The machloikis will be, is there a din of Gid Hanoshe by Behemoth Tmeya? If you were to go and Chas V'Sholem, eat a horse, and not just eat from the horse, we eat the Gid Hanoshe from the horse. Is there a special din of Gid Hanoshe by horses as well? Or only by Behemoth Kshayas? Ariel, one second, we'll get back to you. So, l'choira, it's only by kosher animals, not by non-kosher animals. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no. It is even by non-kosher animals. Why? Because the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe was given on the world when there was no distinction between a kosher and a non-kosher animal before Matan Torah. For Matan Torah, there was no difference between an elephant, between a horse, or between a chicken, or a cow, or a shepsula. They were all the same. These distinctions were only made later on. Yeah? But in Noach 7, so my Mechitin points out that Noach already had Ruach HaKodesh or HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Tzachon Zoy Gefeert, so that he even took 7 of the Behemoth Tohoyrois and 2 of the Behemoth Tomeis. Correct. But Lamasef, there was no Isser in eating a Behemoth Tomeis. Says Rabbi Yehuda, since at that time all animals were mutter for consumption, and the Torah says, Al Kein Loich B'nei Yisrael, it's good enough, Shari Yom Azeh, is a chasimun that the Gid Hanoshe attached even to Timaeus at that time, and therefore they continue even to today, that Gid Hanoshe applies to Behemoth Timaeus. That's Rabbi Yehuda's svar. The Rabbanon disagree with that, and the reason why they disagree, as we'll see in Miyat Hashem in the Gemara tomorrow, is because they say that even though this pasuk, Al Kein Lo Yoich B'nei Yisrael, this Gid Hanoshe, appears in Sefer Bereishis, However, it was only triggered, the Isser was only triggered at the time of Matan Torah. And it was only written in the Torah by Kodesh Baruch Hu to tell us, based on this event. In the future, in another 20 years, 50 years, whenever Matan Torah was, at that time, probably 200 years, whatever, whenever Matan Torah will be, that's when the din of Gira Nosha will attach to the animals, and only to Behemoth's Tahirais, and not to Behemoth's Tameis. Yeah. So therefore we see from that Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda specifically holds that the din of Gira Nosha already tak applied pre-historically, pre-Matan Torah. We don't hold that way. And therefore, says the Gemara, since you're saying that the Isser of Gira Nosha is an Isser Chomer vis-a-vis Kodshim, because this is an old Isser, the only one that said that was Rabbi Yehuda. And our Mishnah of our Masih isn't like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll see in a moment. Ariel, you had a question.
Yeah, you quoted the verse, Al Kain Lo Yechlu Yisrael et Yid Hanash, the name Yisrael. So how do we know that it also applies to the Goyim, etc., etc.? Because the verse explicitly states the children of Israel.
Oh, you're not 100% right. You're 1,000% right. And that's why the Tosis clarified that even though the Gemara used the expression Isura Noi Bebnei Noyach, we do not mean the Gentiles, we mean the Yidden. The reason why the Gemara calls them Bnei Noyach is because the title Bnei Yisrael only really attached at the time of Matan Torah, a time when the Torah was given, and then the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, oh, Bnei Bechoyri Yisrael, this is my Yiddish Kinder, this is my Yiddish folk. So the Gemara occasionally refers to us, Bnei Yisrael, prior to Matan Torah as Bnei Noach. But it's not referring to the Gentiles, it's only referring to the Jews. That was the Tosis that I was quoting before, that it says, Bnei Noach and Adafku Bnei Yaakov. I don't know if you saw the Tosis, maybe our good friend Dari can point to you there in the Tosis. The term Bnei Noach is only referring to Bnei Yaakov. Interesting thing is that even in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Amid Beis, which the Gemara is quoting now, Rabbi Yehuda, there too the Gemara uses the expression, the Mishnah uses the expression, V'haloi bin Bnei Yaakov ne'esar gid ha'nosha. V'adayim b'im b'tzmeim u'teres lehen. Even Rabbi Yehuda uses the term Bnei Yaakov, even though our Gemara borrows and uses the term Bnei Noach. But these are just kind of synonymous terms for our purposes.
So where did they learn out that it's also aser to Gentiles?
It is not. The only thing a Gentile is not allowed to eat is Eivr Menachai. But he's allowed to eat Gid Hanosha both at that time and today. No Isser of Gid Hanosha to the Gentiles. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara.
We're presenting the Gid Hanosha as an Isser Homer because it's older.
Correct.
But Kachim has other qualities too. Kachim has Me'ila and Korban and all that.
The question that you're asking is excellent, and the Gemara is asking that question as we speak. So let's go into the question. Thank you, Barry, as always, for paving the way to understanding the Gemara's kasha. Frank Gemara, fourth line from the top. Our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah doesn't go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Diktani, it says in the Mishnah, no, even behema ubechay yobirech shel yamin ubiyerech shel smoil. What's the Gemara's kasha? We already quoted this several days ago, but we're going to have the Iker Sugya Mietshem on the Amid Beis. That Rabbi Yehuda says, I look in the Pasuk and it doesn't say anywhere in the Pasuk Befedish which Yerach we're talking about. It just says, Al Kain LeYoch Bnei Yisrael Eskid Anosha Al Kaf HaYorech. Which Yerach? Just like all people, Lahavdil, all animals have two Yerechayim. Are we referring to the right one? Are we referring to the left one? We'll see that Rabbi Yehuda on the Amid Beis is Mafakbek. Which Yerach are we talking about? Are we talking about the right one or are we talking about the left one? Our Mishnah was said Mefedish that we are talking about both. If you go back to the Mishnah of yesterday, starting on the third line, so it's obvious that it cannot go according to Rabbi Yehuda. So you're telling me our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda because the Isser of Gira Nosha is so chomer because it's historic, pre-Har Sinai. Our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Yerach Shol Yemin, the Yerach Shol Smoil. He says it only applies to one of the two, as we'll see on the Amid Beis. Bemis, and we don't have to come on to that. We could really have another raya that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because we have now answered the Gemara's kasha, how is Ginanosha Shayich by Muktoshin? We said it's talking about the case of the Shlil. Shlil, remember, is that Vlad inside the Mammy's body. And we're saying, by Shlil, there's a din of Ginanosha. Guess what? Reb Yehuda, in our Mishnah, look on the fifth line, Reb Yehuda says, Befeirish, ain't a noig b'shlil. The whole Ginanosha is not Shayich by Shlil in the first place. And that's the whole basis of this teretz that we're talking about. Why do we have to krichem to taf kuf that we have? Rabbi Huda says over there that the din of Ginanosha is prehistoric and our Mishnah doesn't hold that way. You have befeish in our Mishnah that Rabbi Huda doesn't hold like the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama says that it Ginanosha shayach b'mukdash. And we're saying which mukdash in the case of a shlil of Vladis Kodshim. Rabbi Huda says, ain't annoying b'shlil. Anyway, this is not my kasha. This is the Toysis kasha, the second kasha here on the side. And Toysis says, you are 100% right. We didn't have to go another 10 blot to Daf Kuf. But since we have already Beresha de Milz, in other words, even before we get to Rabbi Huda, Oymer Ein Enoig B'Shlil, it already says in the Mishnah that it's Shayach B'Yerach Shal Yamin B'Yerach Shal Smoil. Everybody should scream out at the same time. That's not Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says it's only Shayach by one of the two, not by both. So the Gemara couldn't contain itself, so to speak, and said, I'm not going to wait until Rabbi Huda Oymer Ein Enoig B'Shlil. I'm going to ask immediately. I see our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Huda. And for the Gemara, Haytana Sobalekavos B'Chodeh B'Palegalei B'Chodeh. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, that was Masader, our Mishnah, he holds like Rabbi Huda in one halacha, but he doesn't hold like him in the other halacha. Meaning, he holds by him like the Mishnah Daf Kuf, that Rabbi Huda holds that this is an Isser Chomer, that's Noyig B'Bnei Noyach, meaning B'Bnei Yaakov prior to Matan Torah. However, he argues the Gabbit case of the two Yerechois, where our Mishnah says it's Shayach by both, even though Rabbi Huda says it's only Shayach by one of the two. Jokti Marietz. Now the kasha that Barry was asking. Ayim Shamas Le Rabbi Huda B'Tmeya, the Isser Lav. That enough kuf that we see that the Isser Gid is chal on the Isser Behemet Tmeya, it's because the Isser Gid happens to be a Murchomer Dike Isser vis-a-vis the din of the Behemet Tmeya. In which respect? That it's prehistoric. However, here we're talking about Kodshim. Ayim Adamit Shamas Le Rabbi Huda B'Tmeya, the Isser Lav. Kodshim, the Isser Kor is Mishamasle. The Isser, the din of Kodshim is much more chomer than your normal, regular chulin or regular behemoth tmeya or regular gid hanosha. All of those just involve lavin for which a person would get malchus. Here, by Kodshim, you get koris. Where do you get koris by Kodshim? Says Rashi, lemoshel, if a person happens to be tamei and he eats Kodshim, chas v'sholem, or a person is eating pigul or noiser, all of these have a din of kares. Uy, that's a heavy-duty thing. So how do you go and say that the Isser Gid? Agreed, Isser Gid is prehistoric before Matan Torah, Alis Ich Bemaskim. But that still doesn't rise to the level of the Isser Kodshim, which has an Isser kares. Says the Gemara, you know, I agree with you. We leave the teretz that we've been giving until now, that we're talking about Velodos Kodshim, Elohachim Mevavakeres Askinan. So now, this, of course, is very similar to Vlodis Kodshim. However, it's not the same. Vlodis Kodshim, we're talking about that the mommy you already maktish before it became pregnant, and then it became pregnant and had that Vlad, and the Vlad, in its inception, already got Kedusha. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Vakeris. Vakeris means a behemoth that's having its first baby, and we're assuming that baby is going to be a Zohar. And that's mevakeres, means it's about to give birth to a bechor. What's the halacha? The berechem kodesh. What means berechem kodesh? The lashon hagemara berechem sounds like in the rechem. But we already had, you remember the previous parakim, know that the din of bechor only applies when it leaves the rechem, when it's poiter es harechem, it leaves the rechem, it says goodbye, then it becomes kodesh. What was the nafkimina? You remember the gemara said what happens if you had an Aver Menachai, you cut off a piece of that shlil when it was still inside the mommy's stomach. Do you have to go and burn it like psul kodshim, or can you even just give it leklovim? The Gemara says you can give it leklovim. Why? Because before the vlad leaves the mommy's boch, it does not have a status of kedusha of bechor. It only has a kedusha of bechor when it's poiter as a rechem, when it leaves. So that being the case, says the Gemara, what's the status now of the Gid vis-a-vis the Kodshim? The Gid either also becomes a Gid Anosha after it comes out of the mommy's stomach, and therefore they're both at the same time, it's Babas Achas, or you can go and say the Gid Taka pre-existed the Kedushas Bechor inside when it was developing the Gidin, like the Gemara said on the bottom of Pei Tesa Midbeis, when the Nefel, Shulei Nikshrei Vara begin, but finally the Gidin came in a week later, a month later, still in the mommy's stomach. So the Gid and Nasha came first, the Kedushas Bechor came second. It is Chal on the Gid Anosha, because since it's a Bechor, you have all of the Kedusha of the Yesh by Karis, like the Gemara just said, and that's why you do have both Isurim together, and that's Pshat in the Mishnah, the Gid Anosha is Noig, not only Bechulim, but also Mugdashim. That was Teretz number one. V'Boyesem, I have another Teretz, and I go back, Taka, to the Volodos Kodshim that we spoke about prior to coming on to Mevakeres, that the Mandi Omer of our Mishnah disagrees with the halacha of Volodes Kodshim. Meaning that back on the Amud Beis, when we spoke about Volodes Kodshim, we assumed that the Kedusha happens inside the mommy's stomach at the very inception of this animal. The Gemara used the expression Volodes Kodshim, b'mei imon heim kedoshim. Already in the mommy's, inside the mommy, they were already Kodesh at that time. However, that's not so simple, because Ibo Yisema, there's another man, the Yama, that holds Vlodis Kodshim, Ba'aviyasan Hein Kedoshim. They only become Kodesh when they have their Havaya, their creation. The reason why the Gemara uses the term Havaya, says Rashi, because it says, Rak Kodeshecha Asher Yiu Loch. So it says, Asher Yiu, a Loshon Havaya. Havaya means at the time of their creation. Ah, what means the time of their creation? Not in utero, but after they come out of the Rechem. And therefore, this is basically the same teretz that we're giving by Mevakeres, meaning that either the Gid Hanosha precedes the Isser Kodshim, even though this is a Vlad Kodshim, the Mami is Kodosh. This Mandiyama holds that the Vlad only gets a din of Kedusha by the Yosan when it comes out and emerges from the Mami's stomach when it's born. Ah, so the Gid Hanosha preceded that because the Gid Hanosha was already inside the Mami's stomach. Or the Gid Hanosha happened at the same time also when the Vlad left the mommy's stomach. So bottom line is, either the Gid Hanosha came first, or it came with Basachas, and that's how you can have a case of the Gid Hanosha being Shayech by Muktasha. Sorry, Nachmul? Havyusim means when it comes out of the Rechem. After Rechem means when it leaves the Rechem. That's how Rashi defines when inside the Rechem, that would be B'me'iman, that's it, yesterday's Gemara. Today's Gemara is when it comes out. When it leaves the Rechem, that's the Haloshen Havyosin. Okay, Zuki Mori Yetzweiter. We are now up to a new shtickle of Rebchia Bar Yosef. This shtickle that we're going to have now is now going to talk about the Karban Oila. As you remember, when we discussed it briefly yesterday, there was a lot of tumult and turbulence among all the Loim de Hadaf. How could that be? What's the din? We're now going to explore it in much greater detail. Meaning, we said that again, Anasha is Shayich by Mukdashim. Mukdashim Pushipshat means any carbon that you eat, whether it's a carbon kachi kudishim, which is eaten by the kahanim, like a chattis or an asham, or lemushal ashlamim, which is kachim kalim that anybody can eat. Okay, so what's the din about all of them? When you identify the Gid Hanosha, uviyar to haram mikir becha, take it out, don't even think about eating it, chas v'shalom etunish. That's a mishnah, Gid Hanosha, shayach b'mukdashim. The question is, what happens if this is a carbon oila? Carbon oila, nobody eats except the mizbeach. Does the same halach apply that you have to go and uproot and remove and eradicate the Gid Hanosha from the oila, or can you leave it in the oila and just put it on the mizbeach with everything else? And that's going to be a big, big shaila now that we're going to deal with for the next half an hour or so. Reb Chiya bar Yosef. Lo yishanu ele kodshim aneh cholim. That it says in the Mishnah that Gid Hanosha is noyim midoshim is those kodshim which are eaten. Meaning an oila, ain iser gid noig behen, no iser gid. I don't know what that means yet. I just see it says ain iser gid. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, echad kachim nechalim. The echad kachim shein nechalim, iser gid noig behen. No difference between a shlamim or an oila. The din of gid applies across the board. So now, what does that mean in practical terms? So we have first Reb Chiya bar Yosef, and then we have Reb Yochanan, and as we'll see in the Gemara, there are going to be three separate pshatim in their discussion. In fact, according to the first two pshatim, there's no machloikis. They both agree. Even though one says, ain't iser gid noig behen. The other one says, iser gid is noig behen. We're going to have two lishoinis of Rav Papa. They're going to hold that there's no machloikis. And then we're going to have a third pshat from Rav Nachman Yitzchok that there is a machloikis. So let's first look at Rav Papa. Omer Rav Papa, v'loi pligi. Kan lehalkoisei, kan lehaloisei. Halkoisei, says Rashi, means, if a person were to eat the gid hanosha from a carbon oila, avad you're not allowed to eat a carbon oila. Oila is kula kol lashem. If you eat a carbon oila, you have me'ila, and you're all those wonderful things, isra no of kachim. But over and above that, if you got a hasra'a for the fact that you're eating gid hanosha, you'd get hasra'a, you'd get malkis as well. You'd get malkis besides the isra that you're over on Moil Bekotchim, you also have Malkus. So that's, and then everybody agrees to that. So even though it's only Rabbi Yochanan says, Isser Gid Noig Behen, Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef agrees, Isser Gid Noig Behen Lal Koisei, if a person were to eat the Gid Anosha of a carbon oil. What then is the Mach? What then does Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef disagree with Rabbi Yochanan? Kan Lahaloisei. Lahaloisei means to put it on the Mizbeach. Putting on the Mizbeach, both of them agree that there is no Isser Gid Hanosha. You're allowed to put this on the Mizbeach. And the reason is because the Torah says, Al Kein Leyoichel B'nei Yisrael Es Gid Hanosha. It doesn't say, Al Kein Leyoichel HaMizbeach Gid Hanosha. So everybody agrees you can put the Gid Hanosha as part of the whole Oyla on the Mizbeach. Since they say you can, presumably you're Mechuyev, put it on the Mizbeach. Everybody agrees. They both agree that if you were to eat that gid hanosha, you go and get malchus. So there's no machlokes between the two of them. Ikri Amri, there's another version. Omra Papa v'lo pligi. Again, no machlokes. But what is the discussion? Nothing to do with eating and malchus, but rather kan lechaltze v'kan laloisei. You happen to be a koyin. You're working there in the Beis HaMitbachayim, and you see the gid hanosha. Should you remove it or should you not remove it? So when it says kan lechaltzoi, let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi's second wide line down below. Lishna chrina kan lechaltzoi kan laloisei. Man di yomer ein noig ba'oila. That was the first man di yomer b'chia bar Yosef lechaltzoi k'omer she'ena mitzuva lechaltzoi min ha'yarech. You do not need to remove the gidanosha. Leave it in the gidan. Leave it on the yarech. Leave it in the oila. Put it on the mizbeach. Everybody agrees. Man di yomer noig laloisei. That means man di yomer noig. That's Rabbi Yochanan that says it is noig by good and nosha by oila. Ka'omar di osir lahaloisei bifnei atzma impirish min hayerech. Ah, part of the behema, part of it's attached to the yerech, attached to the etzem and the kafe yerech. Leave it. You have no chiv to take it off. And that's what we said, that ein iser gid noig, leave it on. However, what happens if it was removed by mistake or on purpose, somebody took off the gid hanosha, do you put it on separately? No, do not put it on b'fnei atzma. If it's mechuber, leave it on. Once it's off, do not put it on. So that was the second shot in what appeared to be a machloikis of b'chia by Yosef. There's no machloikis at all. They both agree, according to the second shot, there's no chiev to remove it. But if you've removed it already, then leave it out. Don't bother putting it on the mizbeach. According to these two pshatim, v'loy pligi, no machlokes. Rav Nachman Yitzchok, oh my, no. In fact, there is a machlokes. Aloyse pligi. Do you go and put the gid hanosha with the kafa yorech and with the rest of the oil on the mizbeach? Yes or no?
I mean, even not perish.
Even if it's inside, it's still connected. Exactly right. And we're going to have now a major machlokes. And this is not only going to be a machloikis between Rabbi Chia bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, who are both amayroim, but the Gemara is going to tell us, and in fact, this is a machloikis tanoim between Rabbi and the Rabbanan. And we're only going to get to the machloikis Rabbi Rabbanan all the way at the bottom of the Amud, as you will see. But first, we're going to discuss a couple of braisois, which are not referring to the Gid Hanosha, but referring to other parts of the anatomy of the carbon oil. And the Gemara is going to ask basically a stiras hapsukim. In one pasuk, it says, "V'hikra hakoyin es hakoyil hamizbecha." When you're talking about a carbon oila, Everything bakol mikol kol, except of course the skin. The skin goes to the kahanim, but otherwise everything goes on the mizbech. But there's another pasuk that says v'sisa oilei secha ha'basar bihadam, which sounds like when you're bringing a korban oily, only put the basar and dam on the mizbech. So which one is it? Is it hakoil, everything, or is it only the basar and the dam? So because of that. Quote, Stira Sapsukim, the Gemara explains. And I'm not going to come along with the belief the sign will in the Brisa. The Hitrakoin is a Koilam is Becher, the rabbis, who are some ways. Not just the Basar and Dam, the bones, the Hagidim, and the sinews. We're not talking about Gidin Nashi, we're talking about just regular Gidin, regular sinews. The Hakarnayim, and the horns, the Atlafayim, and the hooves. Really, you put Karnayim and Tlafayim on the. Yes! Hakoil Ham is Becher. What happens if they already were nifresh, meaning they already fell off, or they cut it off for whatever reason? So the kanaim were taken off, somebody wants to use it for chatoitzis, or for a shoifer, or whatever. So they cut the kanaim off. Should I still put it on the mizbeach? No, 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 no. Once it's pirshu, once they are broken off, tamaloyim vasisa lecha bas v'adam. Freikta t'imara, ibasir v'adam. If it says bas v'dam, only bas v'dam, and therefore don't put the kanayim on the mizbeach, yochel niachloitz gidim v'atzomoyz v'yale basar legabim mizbeach. Maybe you should taka remove the gidim and that somoyz and the kanayim and the tlafayim, and only put the basar on. Tamalay mikdakoyin hatzah koyla mizbecha. Everything. Make up your mind. Part of the braisa says hakoyl. You put on all the four. That somoyz gidim kanayim v'tlafayim. But then it's also lecha bas v'yadam. Only the basar, only the dam. So what's pshat? Okay, tzad. Zok de braisim chuborim yalu. As long as they're still attached, put it on. But again, we're not talking about gira nosha. We're talking about these four. Atzamas gira kanaim v'tavayim. If they're still mechubar to the behema, put it all on. With the horns and with the hooves, the ganze masa. However, parshu, once they've been nifrash, means they have been separated from the rest of the carbon. Oila afilu b'roish shel mizbeach. Even if they only fell off when the kohen is on top of the mizbech, he's ready now to go and push and put the oila, throw the oila onto the ma'arocha. And a second before that, one of the tlafayim fell off. One of the kanayim fell off. Do not put it on the mizbech. Even though it was only nifresh when it hit the top of the mizbech, take it off, take it down. Only that part, of course. Only that karen, that tlafayim, whatever fell off, don't put on the mizbech.
Why?
There are two psukim over here. One pasuk says, "The hikdra koin is hakoil alis," and the second kasha, second pasuk says, "Vasisoy lesecha bas v'adam, only bas v'adam." Is the chastira? That's how we answer the stira. If it's still mechuber, the hikdra koin is hakoil, everything bakal mikol kol. However, if it's already nifrash, oy lesecha bas v'adam, only bas v'adam.
I'm going to ask you to see this kasha.
Yeah. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
They took off the rosh v'ketchila. And the ketchila had to take the rosh off. And the kanaim were included in that, I imagine.
I love your kasha. Not only is it your kasha, you're mechavin to the Gemara's kasha. Yeah, if you look two lines from the bottom of the yamid, all the way down, two lines from the bottom, needed to have a rosh shel oila. You see the Gemara all the way in the bottom, a rosh shel oila. And the Gemara is going to explain the rosh shel oila has in it all of those things. Which has in it the atomis, mit the gidim, mit the
atomis.
I understand it's the beginning of the year, for purposes of our Gemara. Oh, Mitchum, we're going to get to it. Mitchum, mit Nachun Kemen, mit Aibish himself. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, it gets weiter. Okay, zum Chubarim Yalu, Pirshu, Afilu Barisha Mizbeach, Yerd. Okay, so this is very clear. This Raisa only had one Mandi Omar, was unanimous, anonymous, no machloikis. If it's still part of the animal, put it on the mizbeach. If it's ready nifresh, take it off. Freit Mora, Uman Tana de Shamis Lei de Omer Parshu Yerdu. Who in fact is the Tana of that price that we just quoted and that we just learned? That when it's nifresh, it's Yerdu. That's Rebbe. Who is this Rebbe? And now we bring a brand new price. The Sanya. And we start again. The Hikdra Koin is a Koin. The rabbi, so at some ways, va'gidin, va'kenaim, va'lefat, lefayim. So far, exact the same as the previous price, but now we add two major words. Va'filu pershu, even if they were nifrash, the etzem, the gid, kenaim, lefayim, fell off, it was cut off, put it on the mizbeach. It says in the pasuk, ha'koil, v'ikta ha'koil, it's ha'koil ha'mizbeach. Right, so what are we going to do, va'mani, mekayim, va'sisa, lesecha, bas, va'adam, that it says only the basar and only the dam? So the previous braisa said, if it's nifrash, don't put it on. But this Tanna Kamma says, no, even if it's nifrash, you put it on. So what does he do with this pasuk? Efrig Mara, bepoikin. Bepoikin means, what happens if you taka put it on? Bako mikol kol, was your nifrash, nifnishrap, you put everything on the mizbeach, and after a minute, after an hour, after 3 hours, there was a sudden spark or something and a sudden flame, and boom, part of the carbon falls off of the mizbeach. This poikin apparently happened quite frequently. Poikin means that it fell off. It spritzed off, not that it didn't fall off by itself. Nifka, parkour. Yeah. Anyway, so it was poikin and fell off. Yeah, like a ben pekor. You also take it out. So here it's also taken out.
Sometimes make it jump up.
Exactly. Whatever it is, lamasa, it sizzles and...
Fat makes it jump up.
Yeah. Okay, whatever the reason is. Anyway, it falls off. What's the halacha about a something that falls off the mizbeach? Haketzad explains Yimar, ichuli basar atamachzir. If the basar of the carbon oila falls off the mizbeach, put it back. Because it's a mitzvah to go and put the oila kula kolil and tokter on the mizbeach. However, viatamachzik gula ichuli gidim vatzamis. If one of the gidim or atzamis, or karnayim or tlafayim fall off, do not put it back. Okay, so obviously this Tanna Kamma disagrees with what we learned in the previous braisa, because this Tanna Kamma holds that even parshu put it on the mizbeach. So who is the Tanna of the previous braisa? That's Rebbe. What does Rebbe say? Rebbe Oimer, kosev echad oimer ikter koin is a koil. That's a riba. Everything hakoil alis. The kosev echad oimer vasisel secha bas viadam. Only the basar, only the dam is a miyad. Okay, tzad. Mechubarim yalu. If the gidim and atzamis and the karnayim and tlafayim are still mechubar, put it on. Parsha, once it came off, avil b'roshishul mizbeach yerdu. Oh, so it's crystal clear that the previous price that we quoted before, that's Rebbe and not the Rabbi. It's a machloikis. We still haven't gotten to our gid anoshi yet, Rabbi Zayt. We're going to get to it in a moment. So in the meantime, we have machloikis, the gabe, all those other wonderful accessories to the basar, which are in the carbon oila. Do you put it on? Don't you put it on? Everybody agrees that if it's still mechuber, you do put it on. If it's nifrash, then you have a machloikis whether or not you put it on, or you leave it downstairs and you don't put it on top of the mizbeach. Right, Timur yet. Now that we have both shittas of Rabbanan and Rebbe, Rabbanan, why do they disagree with Rebbe and say that even parshu, you put it on the mizbeach? Because Rabban mechuban le'itzich kro le'rebuye. I don't need to go and tell Yosisa, not Yosisa, that the Hikdra Koin is a Koil HaMizbecha, that anything which is Mechuber, right? How does Rabbi learn? Rabbi says, the Hikdra Koin is a Koil HaMizbecha, if it's still Mechuber, you put on the Mizbeach. Vasisa al Secha, Bas Vadam, however, it's already Nifrash, don't put on the Mizbeach. Says the Rabbanan, I don't need a Pasik to tell you, the Hikdra Koin is a Koil HaMizbecha, that it's Mechuber, you put it on the Mizbeach. Why don't I need a pasuk? Meaning to have, and this is what Rabbi Yosef told us already 5 minutes ago, meaning to have a Rosh Hashol Oila. Because the Torah says, Befedish, that besides putting on the major part of the Oila, meaning the rest of the body, it also says in the pasuk, Yes, a Rosh. You also put the Rosh on it. If you have the Ois Dalet of the Torah, or HaSholim, some of your Gemaras may not have it. But Olch B'nei Harna Koyhanim, Eis HaNesachim, Es HaRosh, V'es HaPader, Ala Eitim HaSholim, Eish HaSholim Mizbech. Why is the Roish isolated on its own? Look at the bottom Rashi, the final Rashi. Says, Rashi, Tzarech Shekrivenu Sholeh. When it comes to the Roish, don't start trying to dissect it and take out certain parts. You leave it Sholeh, Kirchsev, yes, a Roish. Look to Rashi, Vari Atzomis Harbiyesh. Inside the Roish, you have the whole skull and you have all of those Atzomis inside.
Shemai.
I'm sorry, verse 16.
Yeah, it goes
Kanaim.
The same.
No, Kanaim. Kanaim too. I'm sorry the Rashi left it out, and maybe there's another, maybe there's, maybe you want to add a Hagom. Let's see. Oh, but Tlafayim is Zichy, you're not going to find in the Roish. Kanaim? Tlafayim are hoofs. Good. Anyway, so getting back to Agmar. So Zogt Yetz Agmar, since I already have that you put the Roish on, and the Roish, by definition, Avada, the Roish includes all of the Atzamais, and presumably one or two Gidin, and presumably the Kanaim that are sticking out. So once it says already the Roish, I know Mechuber, you put it on the Mizbech. So Ki Yitzchakro, so what do I need? The Pasuk is Hakoil, the Parsha, even if they fell off of the animal's body. And therefore, even then, you put the Kanaim, the Tlafayim, the Gidin, Atzamais, everything goes on the back. So the Choyra, the Rabban have a good point. I don't need it for Mechubarim, so it comes to tell you the dinner partially. for Rebbe. Mechuborim dehetayra zokter lo yitzrach kral rebuyay. I avad agree with you. There's this pasuk of the Rosh. Certainly, all of those four, the mechuborim dehetayra, heter meaning tlafayim and the gidim and the atzamos and the kanaim. Avad, you're right. I don't need a specific pasuk. However, yitzrach kral legin anosh. Oh, now we're back to our sugi about the gid anosh. Says Rebbe, what I really need the hikta koinus akoyil is to tell you the gid anosh be mechuber. Agav Urcha, since we spoke about the Gid Anosh is Mechuber, even though it's Isur, says the Torah, the Hikdar Koin is HaKoil HaMizbecha, put it on the Mizbech. Agav that, the price says, and by the way, all those things which are Mutter, also you put on the Mizbech. I don't really need the Pasik for that. Exactly. I really don't need the Pasik for that because I have the Pasik, the Rosh Shal Oila. I agree with the Rabbanan. So the Mechubam, the Torah, I really don't need the Pasik. But since the pasuk is there, hakoil, to tell you that the gid anosha, which is a mechuber of isur, put it on the mizbeach, comes the pasuk to say, and by the way, also put on the kanayim, tlafayim, gid matzamid, yeah, I could have learned that from the Rosh, but I learned it from here as well. Zukti Rabbanan, I disagree with you. Gid anosha mechuber, chulila v'chas, don't even think of putting it on the mizbeach. Why? It says in the pasuk, mi mashke Yisrael. We didn't say mashke Yisrael, Pasuk in Yecheskel, where they're talking about being makrif kabanis, and he uses the term mimashke Yisrael. The word mashke, of course, normally means a liquid. But Rashi explains that mimashke can also be referring to a seuda, because when people sit down in a seuda, they think of the mashke. I don't know if that's the way everybody thinks nowadays, but at least in the good old days, the Gemara is telling us that they didn't look at the bread or the flesh or the fish or what they looked at the mashke. What type of mashke are you giving? Because everybody wanted to have a good drink, machai. So that's mashke Yisrael is ruling to Sudas Yisrael.
Like in France.
Yeah, like in France, that's how they do it today. Okay,
very good. France.
In France. Okay, fine. Okay, so that's one pshat. Another pshat, Rashi says, in mashke Yisrael, is since we're talking about karbonis in that pasuk, it's referring not only to the carbon, but also to the nesachim. After the nesachim are yayin, yayin is a mashke, so that's what the pasuk is throwing in when it says mashke Yisrael. However, why did it say mimashke Yisrael? It would be enough to go and say mimashke. Mashke Yisrael is min amutal li Yisrael. It has to be something which is mutter for yid. What do you put on the mizbeach? Only those things which are mutter for yid. Can a yid go and eat the gid anosha?
No.
So say the Rabbanan, you cannot learn from Hikter HaKoynes HaKoyl HaMizbecha. That is coming to say gid anosha mechuber. Chuli the matunish lagging the gid anosha because it's feh. It's not mutter li Yisrael.
So the chaylev under the environment.
Oh, Barry, this is already a second time today that the Gemara asks your kasha. The Rebbe, meaning to have a chaylev adam. Are you allowed to eat chaylev adam? Of course not. Nevertheless, that's the whole mitzvah, the chaylev adam. So you see, you're allowed to go and put, you want to call it tarfis, something which is treif. It's not really treif. It's chaylev adam.
Usher,
dover usher. Thank you, dover usher. So just like you can put the chaylev adam with your dover usher, you can also get an usher. If that's what the Torah tells you, you put the get an usher. What's the kasha?
That was the kapur.
Oh, Rabbanan, now Rabbi Shechaim comes in and he gives the answer. Rabbanan, mitzvasen bikach. That's what the Torah tells you. That's the whole mitzvah of bringing your carbon. Every single carbon requires zrikas adam. Every single carbon requires to put the aymer and the chalavim on the mizbech. Without that, the zrika is the one that is the machshir of every single carbon. But the Torah also requires that as part of the package, you got to go and do the hekter chalavim beivar. That's required. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you're supposed to put the get anosha. So you want to say from the hekter akoilas. The hakoil comes to include that. Doshenish. That's not a special mitzvah. The Torah says numerous times you have to do this rikas adam. Every single carbon has a different rikas adam. Lamal, lamata, on the kanai, on the four koronis in the mizbeach, or is it shtaim shein arba? Is on only one? Is it four? The ganze mitzvah mit adam. And the chaylev as well, you have to go put the chalavim on the mizbeach. But don't think about putting it on Asha. You want to say that the hikter hakoil comes to include Edvar Isur, like Gid Anosh. No, Mimashkali Yisrael. Good. And therefore, say the Rabbanan, Shani, Mitzvah, Mekan, Shani. Period. Done. So now getting back to our original machloikis between Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef and the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, where he said in the Omid Aleph, does the Gid Anosh apply to a carbon oila? where Rabbi Chiya Bar Yossi said, "Kodshim she'ein necholim," which means an oile, "ein iser gid noig behen." The iser of gid is not noig, means that you can put the gid on the mizbeach, and that's what Rabbi learns from the pasuk. And that the Rabbi Yochanan says, "No, no, no. Echad kodshim necholim, echad kodshim she'ein necholim, iser gid noig behen, iser gid betunish." They hold like the Rabbanan. So the machloikis between Rabbi Chiya Bar Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan says, "Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak." That's the machloikis between Rebbe and the Rabbanan of these prices that we just completed. And now the Gemara is going to bring yet another set up.
With Korban Pesach, we roast the whole animal.
Yeah.
But that has to get a nasha in it.
Yes.
So how do we have to remove it? Can it not? You know,
today is Chamish Usa B'Av. Chamish Usa B'Av is a yontif. It's such a yontif that everybody today is Baruch Hashem being mechavin to various parts of the Gemara. If you go down 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud Beis, you have 6-7 lines at the bottom of the Amud Beis, my good friend, Brother Shai. See, it says, Toshema, Huatzomis, Vaginim, Vanoiser, Yisrafu, Lishisha Osar. What means Shisha Osar? That's the 16th day of Nisan, which is the first day of Chalamoid. And therefore, we're talking about the Korban Pesach, exactly like you said about the Gidon. Mi'at Hashem, we're going to get to that shortly with Rabbi Nishloilim's help. So, Brother Shai, you are mechavin to the Gemara later on. Rabbi Yosef was mechavin to the Roish Shel Oila, and Barry was mechavin already to two kashes, Madagabi the Kudishim, and here, Legabi, the difference between a Gid, Mit Chaylev, to Moshe Chaim was mechavin, Ma'am Chitna to Roskahov and Frieta, Fishtain the Gemara. So, Baruch Hashem, everybody is really cooking with gas today, which is not surprising. You should go to the... Yes, you should definitely go twice. I'm sorry, just like Yom Kippur. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. We're now going to have a machlokes of Huna and Rav Chisda. Again, do you put the Gid Hanasha on the Mizbeach or do you not? So it's the same machlokes that we had between Reb Chiya Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, and the same machlokes between Rabbi and the Rabban. So let's see the machlokes. Rav Huna, Rabbi Yisrael, we're on the fifth line. Rav Huna, Gid Hanosha Shel Oila. That's what we're talking about. Choltsoi Litapuach. Choltsa means that you remove it, like we had Chalitza on the Omer Aleph, and Litapuach. Tapuach is not referring to an apple, but it's referring to the mound which is on top of the Mizbeach, where you had accumulated ash, where the Deshen. Deshen, otherwise in English, is called ash. Whenever they had a lot of deshen on the Mizbeach, there was a mitzvah every single day to do trumas deshen, but that was just a nominal amount. And that was just because the Torah says every single day you have to take off a little trumas deshen and you put it on the floor of the Azara next to the kevesh leading up to the top of the Mizbeach. And as all of you know, Chazal tell us, miraculously, it was nivla into the ground. You never had to remove it. You never had to clean it up. It was nivla into the ground. But that's a truma sedeshen. But there's a din also of harama sedeshen. Harama sedeshen means when there's a large accumulation, then you have to cart it out, and you take it out chutz lemachne on a special place, which is called the shefach hadeshen. That's what it's called, shefach hadeshen, that you poured out the deshen, which was on the...
Trumas and harama sedeshen.
There's trumas and haramas, and never the twain shall meet. The only common denominator is we're talking about the same deshen. Anyway, so where did they allow the deshen to accumulate? They didn't leave it on top of the maracha because that would interfere with all the aymerin that you put on of all the new karbanis. All the ash would, you know, splash away and burst away and blah, blah, blah. So they had a special place on the Mizbeach, a little bit to the north of the maracha. That was called the tapuach. The reason why it's tapuach, because as it got, the mound got higher and higher, it had a somewhat of a shape like an apple. Okay.
And how many years did you clean it?
We're going to talk about that shortly. I'm sorry, what was that, Ariel? You had a question?
I said it was the original Big Apple.
The Big Apple, right. We're soon going to talk about a real Big Apple when they had 300 corn. We're going to talk about that shortly. Anyway, so Om Rav Huna, Gid Anosha Shul Oila Chotzel Tapuach. Don't think of putting the Gid Anosha on the Mizbeach. Chas V'Sholem, Mimashki Yisrael, Metunisht. So what do you do with it? Remove it and put it on the Tapuach. Tapuach, that means that mound of ash on the Mizbeach. Rav Chisda, Mori Dichi. Mori Dichi means my entire Lord. The word Mar over here means my master. Mik Siv Al Kein Le Yoichel HaMizbeach Es Gid Anosha. Al Kein Le Yoichel B'nai Yisrael Ksiv. Doesn't say that the Mizbeach is not allowed to eat it. The Klal Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. So Mizbeach is allowed to eat it. So leave it on the Mizbeach. In other words, leave it inside the carbon and put it on the Mizbeach. So we have the same machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, like we had until now between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Do you put the Gin Anosh on the Mizbeach? Do you not? Look, Yimar, Rav Huna.
I guess Rav Huna and Rav Chisda were talking to each other this time, since he addresses him in the second person, Maradichi, as before they had broken, so they weren't talking to each other.
Or maybe after they did tshuva, maybe after when they got back together again. Okay, anyway, good, thank you for pointing that out. What Brother Barry is pointing out is the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, and Eil Metzia says that Rav Chisda and Rav Huna were broikis for about 30 or 40 years or whatever. They didn't talk to each other because it was a misunderstanding. What was the misunderstanding about? Exactly. It says there in the Mishnah, what happens if you find the Metzia of your father or a Metzia of your Rebbe? Which one do you give back first? So Mishnah says you give it to Rabbi Muvek. Then the Gemara says Rebbe, that says Rav Chisda to Rav Huna, what happens if you have a rabbi v'tzorech le'talmud, or talmud tzrichalai? He needs his talmud to go and energize the shir, and to ask questions, and to develop the shir, and to help him out, and bring harayah from here, from there. So Rav Huna said, oh, Rav Chisda, you're implying that you're referring to yourself, that I need to come on to you. Ichtafanish. I mean, I'm very happy that you're the shir, but I can live without you. Anyway, the Rav Chisda was insulted, he didn't come back to his ministry, I think, for 40 years, something like that. Something like that. Anyway, Ein Memsechta B'Metzia, and the end of Eilim Metzia.
Dachya means tour. The word Dachya in Inkel is Targum all over.
Yeah.
It means tour, Zoch.
Yeah, that's true. And you have Shem and Zayah. Zoch is Dachya. I agree with you. But Rashi says, if you have Mori Dichi, see Rashi parallel. That's beautiful. But Rashi apparently doesn't hold that way over here. If you look at Rashi, Mori Dichi, it's just the 3-4 lines below where we are in the Gemara. Bal Shmua Zu, Haven Dvarecha, Chi Nemar, Vayoichal HaMizbayach. So Mori Dichi means Bal Shmua, the Demar of this Dvar Torah that we're talking about. Think about what you just said, that you're saying about the halacha of putting on the Mizbayach. And that's Omer of Chizza, Mori Dichi. Mik Siv Al Kein Liyoichal Mizbayach, Kein Liyoich Mene Yisrael Ksiv. And therefore you're allowed to put it on the Mizbayach. For Rav Huna holds, like we had before, Mimashki Yisrael, Mena Mutli Yisrael. This is not Mutli Yisrael. Therefore, Machloikis Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, same Machloikis Rebbe and Rabbanan, same Machloikis Bchir Bar Yosef that we had in the Yomid Aleph and Rav Yochanan, are you allowed and not allowed to go and put the Gira Nosha on the Mizbech? Frank Timariyetz Meisveh, by an oiler, we're not talking about other Kabbats, by oiler. Meisveh, Gira Nosha Shul Shlomim, when I'm the Gira Nosha of the Shlom, what do you do with it? Mechabdoi the Omer. The Mechabdoi over here doesn't mean you give it Kovoid, it means that you sweep it into the Omer, Omer which is flowing on the
canal.
The canal, which is flowing. The reason why it's called Amma, because it had the dimensions of an Amma, deep and Amma wide. That's whenever you find Chazal, an Amma, referring to such an Amma Samayim, that's why it's called Amma Samayim. Yeah, exactly. So Mechabda the Amma, you just go and sweep it into the Amma. That's when you're talking about a Karm Shlomim. Karm Shlomim, everybody knows you eat. Everybody knows that when you're talking about a Karm that you eat, that the din of the good and nasha applies. That was our Mishnah, that it's noyig bekodshim, chulun mekdashim. We weren't even asked if pshita, of course it's noyig, what's the shayla? So that was never a question. The whole discussion that we're having today is the gabe the oila. So what does the Braisa say? Bishal oila maleu. Maleu, maila maleu maktirai. The word mala means you take it up to the top of the kevish, to the top of the mizbeach. What do you do over there? You kiss it, you embrace it, you dance with it, you makter it. So it doesn't say it very clearly that the gira noshi, you are makter. And therefore it's a raya to Rav Chisda, is a raya to Rebbe, is a raya to Rav Yochanan, or Rav Chiba Yosef, they had in the Yomid Aleph. So the point is, isn't it crystal clear from this price that you're mala makter? Maleu v'choltzai. This man the Yama, meaning Rav Huna, that says that Gira Nosha Choltzai, you got to remove it. Where do you remove it? You remove it on the top of the Mizbeach. You don't remove it in the Beis Mitzvachayim. Even though Beis Mitzvachayim, you go and strip it and you go and take off the art, the skin, as well as you have to go and clean out. You clean out all the innards to get out all
before
the...
Before you bring it up to the Mizbeach.
Exactly. Get out all the zevel, all the schmutz. That you take out the ganze geschäft. So it's nice. And, get an osh, you leave on until you get to the top of the Mizbeach. So now you're asking, why do you do that? Since the people down below in the basement of Chaim are doing a great job in cleaning it out, in cutting it to Nisachim, and then handing it over to the Kahan to take it up to the Kevesh. So why don't you already remove the Gid Anosha at that time.
Was the Shlepen.
Exactly, and then you're going to have one of the Kahana who's very tichtig, who's going to have a good knife and knows exactly where to try for him to go and take it out. Some shigas, no? And for the more mishum shenemar, hakriveyu no lefechosecha, hayirtzecha oy hayisa fanecha. Gemara brings this pusik very often in Shas. And then what does the pusik mean? It's a pusik in Malachi. And it's telling us, Rabbi Yisai, make sure when you're bringing kabbonis, they should be triple A kabbonis, not double A and not single A and not triple X or triple Z. It should be the best. And the lotion of the pasuk is a pachas, means a minister, like a cabinet minister. Asar, exactly. If you would bring this carbon, this to the pachas, would he look at you? He'd throw you out immediately. He says, "Afazam mentions of me, I a trump. He give me azam atuna, and he would throw it out immediately." So therefore, if you're going to remove the gin anosha prior to putting the yerech, taking it up to the mizbeach, everybody's going to see the triber and how it was removed. So it's going to be a major crevice and crack inside the flesh that you're taking up to the mizbeach by the carbon oiler. It's a nish bekubedik. Exactly. You remember the Gemara says that the reason why the first kohen took up the roish, Satan pusik, it's a roish v'esah poder. Poder is referring to the chalovim. They kept around the roish in the poder because since the roish was severed from the rest of the body, if he's going to go and take the roish up, all the onlookers will say it's a gory scene. You see where the Hema's roish was decapitated. Just thinking about the word decapitation gets
so
you.
So
therefore, you cover it over with the chaylev. So that's a nice cover up. So you don't go and see where the Hema was cut, where it was geshachted. So here too, you don't want to go and show off a yerech of the oila all cut up with the gid removed. So therefore, you remove it at the top. And this is very, very much meduyik heitev. Because if you remember, look at the beginning of Rav Huna. On the fifth line, he said, Choltzu l'tapuach. The tapuach means you put it on the tapuach. Why didn't he say, like by the Shlomim, Mechabdu li'oma? Why did he say, go and take the tapuach? Because you only remove it at the top of the mizbeach. Maleyu v'choltzoi. What do I do with it now? Should I take it downstairs now? And down, not the stairs, but down the kevish, and put it into the omer. No. You put it on the tapuach. You're there. You leave it there. Tiny kibbutz.
How does it get to the omer?
No, that's by the shlomim. Remember, shel oila. Good. Tiny kibbutz in Ravuna. We're going to bring it right to Ravuna. What did Ravuna say? Get anosha. You do not put on the mizbech. Bush take doing the brayse. Get anosha. Shel shlom nechab de omer, like we had before. Shel oila. The previous brayse said oila ma'aleu. So we had to fataych, maleu means maleu v'choltzai. This price says it very clearly. Sholchayla choltzai l'tapuach. Upstairs, not upstairs, up the kevish, on top of the mizbeach. Your choylet you take out of the gid, and then you throw it on the tapuach and you leave it there. Now, since we spoke about the tapuach, we're going to get into the tapuach in greater detail. Tanhus. Tapuach ha'yu be'emtza mizbeach. In the middle of the mizbeach, there was a tapuach, that mound. Sometimes the accumulated ash went all the way up 300 kar. Bear in mind. I apologize. Okay, but the question is, where was the Maroch? Maroch was in the middle of the Mizbech.
Okay.
So you can't have the both in one spot.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it had to be a little bit north of it. Okay, but I'm asking.
I don't know which one it was. I was surprised when you said before.
I understand. The Mitchell, we get to Mesechtes Tumid, we'll talk about it in greater detail. Yeah. We'll talk about it in more detail in Mesechtes Tumid. And now we get to Tanan Husam. When was this pa'amim? So the Gemara in Masechtas Tumid says this was Mayadim during the Mayim, because the Mayim, there were so many people that brought all of their karbanos. Everybody cries out to bring an oilas ri'ah. Meta shalmi chagiga, and they brought shalmi simcha, and they brought the nedarim and nedavos. So although they could have carted out the ash earlier on before it reached 300 kar, they specially did it to make an impression and show. You see, Rabbi Yisai, Klal Yisrael, you see, the Chiba Yisera that you have to Rabbi Nishalayim, you can imagine the Ahava Kadosh Baruch Hu has up in Shemayim, that he sees all the Yidin coming from everywhere. Sorry, what? Could you repeat that again? Sorry?
I'm saying it's like on Hanukkah when you're lighting the candles and the wax builds up day after day. So on the last day, you see how much wax has built up because you've been The love of the mitzvah of near Hanukkah, you let the wax build up.
Oh, beautiful. Oh. Very, very nice. Very nice. It's not many public, it's Barry. Anyway, the Shloish Meir's car, remember every base car had in it, how many saw? 30 saw. The 30 saw. And this is 300 times the 30. Our art school makes a shtikl cheshvin, and it says that the mound was at least 2.65 amos tall, and a circumference of 18 amos arum and arum. Remember, the whole mizbeach was 24 by 24. When the tapuach was so large, it occupied 18 circumference into arum and arum, like by a circle, and it went 2.65 amos into the air. 2.65 amos is roughly 5.3 feet. So can you imagine? You have a normal Polish yid used to be around 5.5 feet, 3 inches, something like that. Right? Put him on top of the mizbeach. That's how tall the mound was with the 300 car. Sorry, Nahul?
I think it was more than 20.
The Mizbeach itself was 28 by 28 or 32 by 32. Yeah. But on the top where you brought the Kabbanis, it was 24 by 24 because you had to remove the Asoid and you had to remove the Soydev and the Kanayim. Kronis. Okay, that's another Gemara. If it wasn't 24 by 24, it was 32 by 32. If it was 28 by 28, it was 96 by 96. I'm sorry for mentioning. Exactly. So that's why they had to eventually take out the Shloish Meir's court and they poured it in the Shefa Chadesh and outside the Machne. Zoki Yimara Omarova, what you just said now is beautiful, but it's a guzma. Guzma means it's an exaggeration. It wasn't 300, it was only 299, only 298. It's an exaggeration. Hishku es ha-tomid b'koshil zog. They used to go and let the carbon tomid drink every day from not just water, but koshil zog. Why did they have the tomid drink? Now, obviously, we're talking before the carbon tomid. Before they were makrev the carbon tomid, they gave it lahavdil, just like they say by a person, they give a last drink before the execution, and by the goyim they give a last dinner. Here they would give him a last drink to the carbon tumid. Why did they do that? Sorry, mitrink. Yeah, they hang mitrinks.
It made it easier to skin it.
Exactly right. So Rashi says the reason is like Barry said, kishuboyin l'shoich le'mashkin oisibu noyach lahavshin. After that, they have to take the skin off because you were not makter the skin on the mizbeach with the whole kodim oiler. Who did you give the oiris to? To the kohanim. So to make it easier to skin it, they gave it to drink before that. But they didn't give it to drink in a mekedeshal cheres, in a plastic cup. It was koishel zohav. Amarava guzma, davdavka. Maybe it was made out of nechoishis and it shone as if it was gold, but it wasn't gold plated. Omer Mami, Dibra Torah Lashon Havoy. Lashon Havoy also means a Lashon Guzma. Dibra Neviim Lashon Havoy. And Dibra Chachamim Lashon Havoy. The Torah itself, Neviim and Nach, and the same the Chacham, all of them spoke in Guzmoy. Dibra Chacham Lashon Havoy Hodi Amar. That we just said now, that he had the 300 car. It wasn't 300 car. Give me a break. It wasn't 300 car. So Lashon Havoy. Dibra Torah Lashon Havoy. What does it say in the Pasuk by the Orei Sichon Va'oig? Orem Gedodah V'tzur Bashamoyim. All the way fortified up in the heavens. Did it really go up to the heavens? Yeah. Come on, give me a break. It didn't go to heavens. Even in English, we have something similar.
Skyscraper.
A skyscraper. Does it scrape the sky?
No, that's
kilo. Okay, so that's also kilo. This a guzma.
You
know how many people were there by Chas V'Shalom, by the Levaya? A million. Or Lahavdul by a Chasada? A million people. Were there a million people? Come on, give me a break. And they were 500, 1,000, 2,000. That's what we call a guzma. Fine. Dibra Neviim Loshen Avoy Vatibaka Oretz the Koilam. This pasuk is talking about David HaMelech was already about to pass away. He had a son by the name of Adoniah ben Chagis, and Adoniah had his eyes and aspirations to be the Mamala Mukam. And he already got together a whole infantry, a whole army together, parade, a whole thing. And David HaMelech was told this by Nusan HaNovi and by Basheva, and they quickly went and they coronated Shloimeh HaMelech. And when they coronated Shloimeh HaMelech, it says in the pasuk, Matketansim, Matkezinyan, where is the Pusik over here? Pusik Hey, it looks like. Pusik Hey, down below. Vayalu kala om achrov. Va'om mehalim. For mehalim, machalilim. They were blowing on the flutes. Usmeichim simcha gedoyle vatibaka oritz the koilim. The koil raj godel was such a heavy koil that the earth quaked to their koilim. Tibaka, as if there was an earthquake. Neither. Shloimeh Melech. They are making a parade now to celebrate the coronation of Shloimeh Melech and Matkezinkin and Matketanzin and Matkebluzin. and all of those created a coil that was so intense it made an earthquake. Was there really an earthquake? No. Okay. We find three times in the Chazal that Lashon Guzma. What are the three? Either the three times that Chum spoke Belushin Gizma. Elihenta Tapuach. That's what we spoke about with the 300 card. Geffen, that we're going to talk about in a moment, and the Parochas. Zuktimur, Tapuach Adi Amorin, that there were 300 car. Come on, with the 300 car, give me a break. Geffen, Ditnan, Geffen. Ditnan, Geffen Shalzuav Hoysay Menes Alpitzche Shal Heichel, Umudla Al Gabi Klunzois. As you entered into the Ulam or to the Heichel, there was hanging over there a Geffen. A Geffen means a trellis where you had grapevines coming down. Meaning,
what's a trellis?
Okay, if you've ever been inside a grape, in a vineyard does not have trees. They only have vines. The vines are not on the floor, because if it be on the floor, then all of the grapes will be born fafoit. Fafoit means it would rot. So to make sure that the grapes stay good, you have big poles, and if you really have a fancy set of poles all together, then it becomes a trellis, and hanging from those trellises, you would have the vines hanging down together with all the... Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so I had such a Geffen Shulzov, Hoysay Medicines were not a real vine of vineyards, but that one made out of gold. Hoysay Medicines, Pisco Shulheichel, it would be standing in the Pisco Shulheichel. Umudla Gabi Kutsois, it was taka held up by these tall poles. The Koshio Yimisnad, if whoever wanted to go and be Menad of money, instead of giving coins, he could bring in a Gargir Oy Eshkoy. The Mishnah in Tumid adds also an Allah. And Ola means a leaf. A gargir means like a small fruit, an eshkol, a little larger fruit. I mean it, we're not talking about real fruit. What we're talking about over here is leaves or gargirs or eshkols of gold. Of gold. Maybe the toilet button, then they would take those and they would hang them up on such a geffen, and therefore it really looked beautiful. Such a geffen shuzov was all made out of gold, and they had gold leaves on it, and gold berries, and gold grapes, and gold larger grapes and smaller grapes, all hanging from this geffen. Now, after a while, if everybody keeps on being menadev, all of these gold leaves and stuff, it's going to be very, very heavy. It will collapse, but we're talking about now that they had to collapse, but Omre Bluzer, Reb Tzudik, Maas, even Nimnu, Olea, Shloishmi, Eskahanam, Lefanois. At one point, they decided maybe they were worried talking about a collapse, or there was just too much of a burden, and therefore they needed 300 Kahanim to go and remove. Did they really need 300 Kahanim? Come on, give me a breath, 300. Maybe they needed 5, maybe they needed 10, maybe 20. They didn't need 300. So again, it's a Guzma. As you see, the Lashon 300 is a Guzma. There are few numbers that you find in the Gemara, such as 13, 60, 300, 400. These are typically cases of Guzma. Anyway, Peroichas, what's the matter of Peroichas? None. Ebshimen Gamli Eloim, Ebshimen, Ebshimen Askan, or Segen. Proiches, Oivyatefa, the Proiches, and Machloikis, which Proiches we're talking about, whether we're talking about the Proiches between the Ulam and the Heichel, or in front of the Ulam, Rashi says he prefers that we're talking about the Proiches Hadvir. Proiches Hadvir means that separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedushim. In the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, they had a wall. At the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, they had two curtains next to each other, and that was called the Amatraxim because there was an Amma between one Proiches and the other. One Proiches was closer, because it was much taller, and therefore if they were to put a wall there, it would collapse. It wouldn't be enough width. So they put it to Brechus. Okay, Mitchum Mesechus Tumid, Mesechus Midois, we're going to learn much more about these things. Anyway, so what did Shem Gamliel say, Mishim Reb Shem and Eskat? That Brechus Oivya Tefach, the thickness of the Brechus was a Tefach. Talking about 4 inches. Think about how thick your shirt is, and think about this is 4 inches. Wow. Wow. Very, very thick. Very, very thick. While Shivan Ushnaim Nirim Nereges. It was made on 72 Nirim. What is the term Nirim? We have in Masechet Shabbos the Bati Nirim. What a Bati Nirim? This means on a weaving loom to be able to get the thread of the woof through the warp, meaning the chassis and the Erev, they have to go and interconnect. So you had Bati Nirim, which are part of the apparatus of the weaving loom that would constantly go up and down as you press on it to allow for the threads to go back and forth, one through the other. That's called Nirim. But it wasn't just a small weaving loom. This was huge. 72 Nirim. That weaving loom was probably the size of this room, or half of this room. The Alkon Nima V'Nima, and every one of the Nima, meaning every one of the threads of this Parayches, Answer me, Arba Chutim. You had 24 ply. How did you get to 24? So Rashi already tells us the Chumash because Asisa Paroiches, Tcheles, Vargoman, Tela, Shani, Vishesh. And each one of them was Sheish, was made out of six threads. Since you're talking about four, Chelis, Argomen, Tlashoni, Sheish, four times 24. Six is altogether
24.
So Etri Nima was 24 Chutim. What was the dimensions of this Paroiches? Orka Arboim Ba'ama, who was 40 Amois long, that's 80 feet long, Verochba and its Roichab and its width was Esram Ba'ama. Umishmoinim Vishtei, or Vishtei Reboy Nasis. It was made out of the 82. Okay. The Shtei, of course, is 2. Shmoinim is 80. The question is, what's the definition of Reboy? So Rashi says. Sorry? 10,000. So Parshat Shad is 82 times 10,000, 820,000. 820,000 threads altogether, because we're going 40 by 20, a huge parochus, one tefach wide, which is 4 inches wide. So according to one Pshad, it's 820,000 chutim were used to manufacture this.
The height was 40?
Sorry?
Or the width. What was 40 by 20?
What did it say in Nigmar?
Abon
Ba'ama, Orka, Abon, beginning of the fourth line.
I'm sorry.
Orka, Abon Ba'ama, Roch, West, Ba'ama. Yeah, it's good. Okay, anyway, Ushmoinim Ishtei Reboy Nasis. So first Pshat of Rashi is 820,000 chutim were necessary to produce this.
Wow.
However, Rashi has a second Pshat that the word Reboy is referring to a young lady, and that they needed 82 young ladies to go and weave this huge tapestry called the Paroiches. How huge it was, Givaldik, 82. Look at, if you don't believe me, look at Rashi, the second wide line. Shmoinu Shtaim Reboy Chutin, that's 820,000 threads. Nishnachrena Reboys, Na'orois Ha'oiskois Ba. 82 young ladies worked on it to put it together. Okay, anyway, what is the, we haven't gotten to the Guzma yet. Zokti Yomara, Ushtaim Oisim Hashana, they would go and manufacture two every single year. Why did they have to have two a year?
So
if you hold that it's Taka talking about between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kedoshim, you need two Paroiches. But why did they have to go and have two every single year? Maybe every 5 years, every 10 years. So Gnum HaFarshim, because remember it's between the Heichel and the Kodesh Kedoshim. In the Heichel, what did they do every single day? They brought the Ketoidus every day, and the Ketoidus after a while would blacken the Paroiches, so it got a little bit full of soot and from the Ketoidus. And therefore, that's why they changed it every year. Every year they had to go manufacture two new ones.
Nicht die Zrike, they never made Zrike on the Paroiches. No, only the Paroiches.
It is, why did they make
it on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur,
So toch, schmutzig gemacht, aber so.
Oh, yeah, but then there's a Machloikas anymore where they actually touched the Paroiches, just in front of it and went onto the floor. Okay, anyway, that's... Matzav means up and down. And he wanted to toivel this paroiches. He needed 300 kehanim. Again, the same 300 we have before. Loshen guzma. The obvious question is, why did they have to toivel in the first place? What's having toivel? So you're going to tell me it becomes tame. But it's not a kli. It's not a machel. It's not a person. How's it mekabel tumer? So you have the toises over here is bothered by that. What's the reason? He says, other viloinois, it says the base of Midrash became Tomei, Nisha Shamus, Mischamim Kinegdoi. He would wrap himself into that viloin.
The Shamus?
Yes, the Shamus. However, when you're talking about the Paroiches, Leka Lamechish, Yischamu Kinegdoi, the Osalam is Minmani, you're not allowed to have Hanoah from the Paroiches. So Freitois, Vamai Matbilanois, I'm looking at the last Toises here. Freitois is 8 lines in, Vamai Matbilanois, so why are you going and doing a Tvila? Maybe you're going to tell me because it was Nergoi Matbilanois, so. It says Kalim and Igmar b'Tahara. Tzrichin Tvila the Kadosh Oisam. That's only been talking about Kalim that are Makabel Toma. Neshchibes Hakodesh. However, the Proich is not Makabel Toma. Therefore, Toisa says at the end, V'yeshloim is 7 lines before the end. The Makabel Toma lefishu hu oihel doesn't have the status of a stam a viloin of a piece of cloth. They have the status of an oil. Why do they have the status of oil? Because Igmar says Masechta Sukkah that it says about the Proich is v'sakoisa al ha'orai. Even though the v'sakoisa al ha'orai doesn't mean literally. Sukkah, you think of the schach on top of the oren. Top of the oren, they didn't put a paroiches. They put on top of the oren, they put a kruvim. Yeah. They went and put the lid on top. They didn't go and put on any, but since it was in front of the oren, and also the two bottom were sticking out, like sakois alon. So since it has a din l'schach, it's like a oren, yeah, it's it has a status of an oil, you have to go and type. Good. Anyway, that's all very exciting. This last piece of the Shloish Meis Kahan Matbilan Oysa, There's a famous Vilna Gaon about this, which I wanted to go and share with you. You're probably all familiar with this Vilna Gaon. What does the Vilna Gaon say? He says, go and take this Proichus, put it down on the floor or on a large table, which is 40 by 20. And let's go and take now the perimeter. Perimeter means we're going to go and add up the entire sides, all four sides. Since it was 40 by 40 and 20 by 20, so one side is 40, the other side is 40. 40 plus 40 is 80. Then the other two sides are 20 by 20. You're going to add another 40. To get 120 all together. 120, Yoshim?
Yes.
Good, 120. And the amos in the of the kelim, it says in the Beis Hamikdash, were 5 tvachim. So if you're talking about there was 120 amos, arum and arum, in the perimeter, so it's 5, how much is 5 times 120?
600.
Aha. Okay, so 600 tvachim. Every tefach was like the size of a fist, of a hand. Each one of the kehanim wanted to have a schus to go and be matbel the peroiches into the mikvah, so both of them put their two hands, so you need 300 times 2 is 600 hands. Give the Vilna Gaon a hand for coming up with such a beautiful shot. Why did it say it's a guzma? Because even though each one of the kahanim had the desire and the cheshit to be part of it, of the masa, they didn't use 300. They could have used 300 because each one of them could have been holding with two hands. You could have. But the masa, they didn't, and that's why it's called a guzma after all. But I'm sure everybody is bothered by the fact that we left out one guzma. What was that guzma? Hishkus atamid v'koishel zahav. And why did they give the koishel zahav? Why did they give it to drink? To be able to be mashed the ar. So why did we mention there are only three? The tapuach, the gefen, and the peroiches. Vus is given with the hishkus atamid v'koishel zahav. So the second toisis says that in fact our gemara holds that it was not a guzma after all. Yeah. See the second toisis. But he the tamid kasov the ain zav boy. It wasn't the guzma. The fire pesach the tamid ain anias b'makom hashirus. So even though you could have gone and given the carbon tamid to drink from a plastic cup or from a hot cup, but they gave it from in his b'makom hashirus. This is the royalty of Klal Yisrael. This is the royal palace. Can you imagine Trump drinking from a plastic cup? Everything has to be gold and silver and okay, right. And our mission is to be Yerushal Minyan Yerushal Smoil. Masisa Loik Rabbi Yehuda. We already mentioned this in Yom Adalif, the son of Yehuda Omer. Eina Noik Ella Bi Achas. The din of Kid Anosh is only one per animal, not two per animal. Only one per animal. Which one? After all, it has two hind legs. Mishnah said Yerushal Minyan Yerushal Smoil. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Masisa Loik Rabbi Yehuda. He says it's only one. And he says, Vadas Mechras. Eshel Yemin, the right one. That's what the das is machriya. The question is, what does he mean by das machriya? Ibaylu mifshe pshita leiler bihuda umay das toira. Does it mean he decided at the end? Originally he said it's only noig beachas. I'm not sure. I looked it up in the psukim. Based on das toira, it's the yemin and not the smart. Is that the pshat? After everything is said and done, he still doesn't know which one is the right or the left. My das noiter. It's probably logically, I'd say it's the right one and not the left one. What is the logic? The Gemara doesn't tell us, but so that's logic. Usually, min that's based on a pusik, right? You have by the mitzoyra, yuda imunis, ragle imunis. Yep. Okay. Anyway, what's a das noiter? So Rashi says because the whole issur of the Giranusha is because the two Yaakovino and the social Esav. Were nevak means that they cleave the beofka imai, says the pusik. What's the pusik? Yes, the pusik is beyarke the yocholoi beyiga bekaf yerecha beteka kaf yerech Yaakov beheofka imai. One of the pshatim Rashi says the chumash beofka means that it was avak raglav, but here ofka means that he was kind of like embracing him and hugging him, but not in a positive sense, in a negative sense. He was wrestling with him. And now that he's wrestling with him, he's putting his arm around, he puts his right arm, the closest part of the body would be the left part, but if the malach of the sar shalesa had a long, long arms, it reached till the yerech yamin, which is in the back of Yaakov Avinu. So therefore, that's the logic that dictates it was probably the regular hayamin and not the regular hasmat. The Gid Anoshe, but the Gid Anoshe on the regular smite. Okay, Zokti Mariyat. The Mishnah says both Yemin and Smoil, according to the second shot of the Das Noite. The Das Noite was on the Yemin and not on the Smoil. Toshima. So let's try to bring a right. And this is, Brother Shai has left us, but tell him when you see him next time that the Gemara now talks about the Pikar and Pesach. But some is Vagin Vanois Yisrael Vishish Osir. Don't burn, even though it says in the Pasik, Vanois Baboiker, Sir Mene Adboiker, Baboiker Mimeno Adboiker. So boiker only means the yontif, right? You eat the carbon pesach at night, and then next morning you... No, but the Torah, the Gemara says, no, you only burn it on chalamoid, not on yontif. And yontif ain't sorf and a sakudish and yontif. It's only on shisha asa.
Now,
okay, that's another Gemara. So that's someone's vagidim. Let's personally... The word gidin, what does gidin mean? It's a good word, a gid. What does it mean? Hani gidin may be the type. Igide basar, if you're talking about very thin sinews, which are so thin, which they're edible, then why didn't you eat it? Why did you leave it over and burn it on shisha? So you should eat it. Elamai v'yata, no, these are thick sinews. You can't bite into it. It's hard as a rock. You break your teeth. Why do we have to have given a special mention? Noise. Elagide tzaver. You're talking about the gidei tzaver, those are the veins that you have in the, they have a special name, vicarious veins, that you have, not vicarious, something similar to that, in the neck. Zuktimura, if lav basaninu lishdinu, if it's not even roi lachila, then just throw it away, like we said, in the amasamayim, or put it on the tapuach, somewhere up. Vus etmes, you're saying that you have to go and burn it on cholamayim. Yom of chizda. Le'nitzchav gidei nosh, ah! It's the Kira Noshe. Valiba de Behuda de Oma in a Noyik Ela Ba'achas. Behuda holds that only one of them you have the Isser Kira Noshe, the other one you can eat. So why are they burning the Kira Noshe? Says he much. I don't know which one it is. Is it the right one or the left one? Svara tells me it's probably the right one, but I don't know. Halacha, it's still a Sufik. So what do you have to do with it? Can you eat it? No. See, there's probably the rice lechumah. That's where you have to go and burn it. There's no iser on the day of the 16th. Eliam is mefipshitale avad zedov pashit. Mefipshitale based on das teira. Then der teira lechle, the one that he's told that it's mutter, which is the left one. Eat it up. The surah, the right one, lishtaya, let him go and throw it out or burn it or whatever. But why are you going and burning it as part of the noiser on shisha asar? So the choira can be poishet my shaila that Rabbi Yehuda, even in today, is svukim esapkale. I'm not sure. Although logic dictates it's probably the yamin, but I'm not sure. Therefore, you have to go and burn both of them. Amar Vika Bechanina, no. Lo'ilam eim lach mefshitale. Avadi knows that it's the right one, because it's das toira. It's not das logic. Why are we burning them? He should eat the one that's permissible, which is the left one, and he should leave over the right one in the lishtilei. So I throw it out. So why do you have to use it for noiser? Meaning, when they originally tribed it, they removed the two gidin. They should have put a sign, this is the right one and this is the left one. But they didn't. And the right and the left got mixed up mitarivis. So I don't know which one is the right, which one is the left. What? I can't eat it because maybe that's the right one. But I can't go and just throw it out. Maybe it's the left one. So you have to go and burn it on Shisha Usa first day chalamoy. Ha!